At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's time for Scuttlebutt Ultras. Quick takes from our Patreon Ultras, sharing their soundest thoughts straight from the heart. Your voice, your moment.
Hello and welcome to Scuttlebutt Ultras, an offshoot of the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast. I'm here with the three Ultras, Dan, Alex, and Cedar. What is up, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, guys.
This is Cameron, of course, one of the hosts of Sounders Scuttlebutt. Hopefully Aaron doesn't listen to this episode before because he watches it, but the Mariners are up 5-0 in the seventh inning in New York. Not the important part. Brian Wu is pitching a no-hitter through six so far, so I have it on just in case. I don't like to talk about no-hitters ever. I won't usually talk about them, but I got a text about it, so I figured once you're in the seventh, you're supposed to be allowed to talk about it. So we'll let it happen. I've been to one no-hitter in real life. I was there when Iwakuma had a no-hitter on my mom's birthday, so that was pretty fun.
Awesome. Nice.
The only thing that would make it better is if he's on LSD.
Yeah, Doc Ellis, was that his name?
Yeah, yeah, personal hero of mine.
That's pretty awesome.
So let's people know who you are, and we've recorded and scrapped several times different topics and episodes, but this is going to be a standalone series that takes place in between other episodes of the show because the people said we want more ultras. So that is what we're getting. I'm just going to start it off with something sad just because it broke today. Garth Lagerwey has stepped away from Atlanta United because he has been diagnosed with cancer. And I got to know Garth pretty well. So it's pretty, he's just a really good dude. Like when we won the CONCACAF Champions League, he pulled me down and gave me a big hug and I was like, you did it. And he's like, no, we did it. Like just such a amazing dude. And I was talking to him at the end of last season a little bit about a project I'm working on. And then some stuff got in the way from doing it. So hopefully I'll get a chance to do some work with him here in the future. Knock on wood, everything goes well with his recovery, but pretty sad day in the Sounders community. It's not over. He can fight it. He can win, but never fun when someone gets cancer.
No, not at all.
And plus, I think we kind of missed the times when Garth was our GM and we were winning championships.
a lot of good memories with him, that's for sure. But yeah, we're all sending him our thoughts.
Absolutely.
Some good thoughts his way.
Please do. Please do. All right, boys, let's talk about some soccer here. First, let's not go Sounders. Let's talk about the Club World Cup final. We all got a chance to either attend or watch Club World Cup matches involving the Sounders. And now the final is Chelsea versus Paris Saint-Germain. What's the feeling on how that final is going to end up being and how the tournament's been for y'all?
Oh, you mean, first off, I want to say congratulations to PSG for winning the Club World Cup.
The funny thing is, I've only been a PSG fan for 25 years. I've been a Chelsea supporter for 30. So this is a tough one for me.
You're going to have like that one Simpson
meme. Yeah, you've got a real Sophie's choice.
Yeah. I'm going to sit back and enjoy it like I did the PSG Sounders match.
Just, wear a PSG and then a Chelsea kit on top, and then once Chelsea lose, take it off.
like the guy at the Mexico match, USA Mexico match. You see that? Yeah. Yeah, they were like, you need to choose. So he chose Mexico. Kind of like Obed Vargas.
Too soon.
Well, it turned out to be the right choice on Sunday.
Yes. Absolutely. How about you, Cedar? How did you enjoy, are you enjoying the Club World Cup as we're coming down? One match left this weekend.
Yeah, it's been good. It's nice seeing, you know, these other teams lose to PSG by more than we lost to them. So I'm enjoying that. I'm like, hey, are we better than Real Madrid? Maybe. Only losing 2-0. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Obviously, you know, but no, it's been fun. And yeah, should be an entertaining final. Although I don't see anybody beating PSG right now. No. I mean, they're steamrolling everybody. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. It's going to take something special. How about you, Dan? I know you did your best to watch the Sounders matches. I think you had your phone maybe at a doctor's appointment and at a wedding, maybe on an airplane trip across the ocean. I mean, I feel like you just had your phone everywhere watching these matches.
The things that my family expects of me when the Sounders are on is ridiculous. I actually watched the last match here against Columbus Crew at an 8-year-old's birthday party, sitting in my car while they were spending an hour to bust a pinata. So...
give me that. I'll bless the pinata for you.
Oh, it was ridiculous. So I always, but for the World Cup, you know, whichever team knocks us out, I always want that team to win it all because I can say, hey, at least we lost to the best team. My biggest takeaway so far from the World Cup is Miami got thrashed so bad by PSG that they decided to spend another 30 mil on a transfer fee so they can keep up with the team that's last in the league in transfer fees.
Yeah, it's true. They of course are going after Alex, you'll know his name, but the Atletico Madrid player
Rodrigo De Paul.
Yeah,
just like Messi.
I was gonna say Paul Rodrigo, so that was clearly wrong.
That was like, there was the meme during the World Cup in 2022 that was Messi's bodyguard on the field.
Okay.
So, like, if someone fouled him, he was real quick to get a yellow.
So it makes sense that he's wanting to bring over his enforcer.
Yeah. Since didn't they kick out his actual security guard off the field?
I think they might have. There was some drama. But, yeah, so the Sounders, of course, are not in it. You can buy a cool trophy, though, I saw. We were talking about it on the last episode of Scuttlebutt, where you can get the actual replica of the Club World Cup trophy with the Sounders thing in the background that says qualified.
How much does that sell for?
Nice.
I might get one just to, since I'm guaranteed a trophy at this point. Although I ordered a couple bootleg Club World Cup jerseys for Chelsea and PSG. And I was really excited about them. Nice. But then I saw a friend just got something in from China today and had a $69.99 bill that came with a COD because of tariffs.
I'm pretty sure that all you have to do is just whenever you file for your taxes next year, you send it to China and then China pays you back.
Okay.
Because the other country pays for it.
So. I'll try that. Man, they're coming for you, Cedar.
I know. I live in a I live right next to like a fire department and a police station, and yeah, there's always something going on.
That was the IRS going after Dan for trying to not pay.
Trying to save out of my tariffs. Oh man, wait till they find out that I'm a never mind.
Dun dun dun. So the Sounders, we, you know, interesting run going on in I guess a series of games that we should win. How we feeling? Just what's the overall feel for y'all of the Sounders? You can just one of you speak up and run with it. You know, eventually we'll get the hang down of people just talking over each other in a good way. But for now, just one of you start talking. Let's talk about this. How are you feeling? We're in what, fifth place right now?
I've had a constant argument with myself since the last game, which I felt pretty good going into. And on one hand, I really like Seattle's performance. I think Seattle looked like the better team for at least half the game, and I think they deserve to win the game. So with these games coming up, I think overall we're in place to finish fourth or third in the league. I think that's probably going to be our landing spot at the end of the year.
I mean, we are 3 points behind Portland right now, same number of games at on 30 points as Brian Wu gets a strikeout and now has a no-hitter through seven. How about that? Woo! Six more outs, people. God, we could be doing history right here, just talking about it during a no-hitter. I once had tickets to a game, and I was at the dentist, and I heard the game on the radio, and I just assumed it was a replay of the game the night before. And then I was getting ready to head down to the game I had tickets for, found out it was a day game when I got a text from KJR saying, Felix pitched a perfect game. So I did not attend the perfect game, but I have ticket stubs for it.
So technically, you have tickets to the game.
Yeah, I have the tickets from the game.
But if you were there in person is another question.
No, I was not. There was a series of games in a row for the next 2 years. Whenever I gave away my tickets, the Mariners had they had a no-hitter the next time, and then they had a combined no-hitter the time after that. So there was a while where it was good to give me Mariners tickets, and then I give them away.
I mean, it's
I think you can call that on your – oh, go ahead.
I mean, it's kind of like the Club World Cup tickets. Did we have tickets to the game, but did we sit where we were supposed to?
No.
Probably not.
I did one game. Two games. What were you going to say, Dan?
Oh, I was going to say you could probably file those tickets you gave away as charity on your taxes, and China will pay for it, but...
We're going to get shut down.
No, see, here's the thing is the first big Trump tax bill, the first time, they lowered tax rates for every single type of business except for lawyers and dentists. So we were the two that... didn't get our tax breaks because I guess we have bad lobbies. Of course, they are the two professions who at the time had the highest suicide rates. So what the hell, man?
Yeah. I think that can.
Wow.
Yeah, this is Trump tax scuttlebutt.
And death watch.
Let's do it. Go. Let me go get another beer.
Yeah, let me go get one.
Now, what about you, Cedar? How are you feeling about the Sounders right now as we coming off a 1-1 draw versus Columbus?
Pretty good. I mean, as we know, as we've talked about, Columbus are a really good team. And I think, that seemed like a game that we could have won. And, you know, obviously we didn't. And, you know, some scary stuff with Steph at the end, like hopefully he's okay.
Right, yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm concerned about him, obviously, and obviously we want him to be okay. And I know, like, you know, Christian's gone through some scary concussions before, and it's nothing to mess around with. But I'm fine with Andy Thomas being in goal. He's more than capable. And just moving forward, I mean, everybody who's had to fill in for one injury or another has, you know, performed overall pretty admirably. So I'm not concerned about our performance on the field in that aspect. And yeah, I thought that was a really good game against a really, you know, a really, really good Crew team. We got them under their normal, rate of possession, and we kind of played their game back at them. We had a 1.7 expected goals to their 0.8. So, you know, you would have liked to have seen a score, maybe one or two more goals, but I'll take a point against a really, really good team.
What do you think, Alex?
I think Rothrock could have scored that second shot.
And
Jesus, that volley in the beginning of the game, I knew it was going to come back to bite us in the ass.
Yeah, he leaned back just a bit too far on that one. Should have, could have, would have been a wide open goal.
He was trying to do the Matrix and leaning back and dodging bullets. No, I think overall, I was surprised that we only had held Columbus to one goal. And there was this long stretch of the game where they were dominating us in possession. And looking at their passes compared to ours, they had, what, 613 passes to our 457. And there was a lot of the same old sounders, like recycle the ball in the back, go forward, then we're going to recycle it again. And what led to our goal was that, you know, Obed recovered the ball and then the ball sort of got recycled. And then they gave a ball to Kalani. Kalani took his first touch and forward, which caused us to break the lines. Then he gave it off to Rothrock, where he was able to finish it first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, cutting through at the top of the box. Oh, my God. That was so nice to see. And that pass to Rothrock was perfect because he undercooks it. It gets intercepted, overcooks it. Rothrock is near the touchline. It was kind of perfect. And funnily enough, it's the two, you know, local kids, Rothrock and KKR, getting it done. Where, you know, Pedro's on the bench. Kent was on the bench at that point, I think. And, you know, Jesus missed his chance, right? So it's ironic.
And then his celebration, he said, it's my time. He pointed to his wrist. I don't know if he was pointing, like, to a watch, but the way that I saw it was, like, it's my time. Like, it's his time to shine.
He keeps proving it, right?
At this point, you can't really bench him.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do? What do you do when you have a Ryan Kent and Pedro de la Vega on the bench, Dan? How do you handle this?
Wait, one of them on the right? You know what? I keep cycling through on the right until you got it figured out, because Jesus, he doesn't have it figured out to the level that we're scoring with him. But neither does Pedro and Kent. Kent looked, I still, whenever I go to sleep at night, I have dreams of Kent and Morris both streaking down the field together to both get in the box on breakaways, just like they did in the St. Louis game. Yeah, they didn't produce a goal, but they only did it for 5 minutes. I think that is that's a vision, and maybe we'll see that whenever Morris comes back. But right now, the pessimistic side of me is we had Jesus with his foot on the ball, one-on-one with the goalie. We had Rothrock with his foot on ball, one-on-one with the goalie. We had Morris right in front of the goal, and the ball gets tangled at his feet. And then our center back misses a header two in the box. And so, I mean, there was four chances right there that we could have put away 4 points on them. So I'm still concerned that whenever we don't score, a lot of times it's us not scoring and not the defense just making a hell of a play. And that concerns me going forward.
I mean, to add to your point, we only had two shots on target.
With those folks with their foot on the ball right in front of it. But at the same time, you know, what they did up into the box, I think, was outstanding. And I think the way that they want to play is they want to be able to recycle the ball back. That way it's just not everybody sitting there at the box against a packed defense. They want to cycle the ball back, suck the defense back out, and then put those balls through like they did to Kalani. And we've seen some success the past couple of weeks with that. We just need a little bit more finishing right there in front of the goal.
Where are you at it on it, Cedar? I know Nick and I have an ongoing debate on the podcast because what I'm seeing is we're not scoring more than a goal most of the time, and yet we should be scoring four or five a game, it feels like, based on the places we're getting the ball. How are you feeling about this team and their ability to score and or not score?
Well, I mean, against a team like Columbus, I'm
no hitter broken.
I'm gonna be a little. Am I? Can you hear me?
Yeah, they just lost the no hitter. Mariners did in the bottom of the eighth. Sorry, oh, go shit. Ahead. Got distracted by that.
Magic's over.
Well, that sucks. Yeah. No. Yeah, the thrill is gone, guys. Let's let's call it a day. No, I mean. I mean, I don't know. Against Columbus, they're a really good team, so I'm not too concerned. Like Alex alluded to earlier, if Rothrock had scored the second, that would have been nice. But I think moving forward, once again, I got to see, you know, how Jordan looks when he comes back and is starting again and everything. And then, you know, after that, yeah, they may still face the same criticism of like, okay, we're so good in, you know, the midfield, we're great at defending, we're great getting the ball, you know, to the final third. But then when it comes to actually, you know, linking together the passes needed to break through the defense and actually score, it's so hit or miss. I mean, it took a really, really just, you know, inch perfect play by Kalani to weave through the defenders and a perfect pass for us to score. And it was great. But again, can we rely on that every week? I don't know if we can. And
next week.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah, that's right. Well, and that too, it's like, what? That's 3 times in the last 3 league games that's happened to us.
And then we had 2 earlier this year.
Big Whiting and, you know, knew who. It's just, I don't know what that is. I mean, that's just got to be, it's just a mental lapse, isn't it? And, you know, not being aware of the game state, your surroundings, like, oh, you're already on a yellow, then don't pick up another. So, but yeah, I don't know. I'm still going to wait and see. I mean, we still have half of the season left. But yeah, I still think they need something. They need, you know, some extra level to hit, because right now we're just not seeing that. Because you could see this team functioning on firing on all cylinders, scoring 3 or 4 a game. Like that's where they should be realistically, and they're not.
I mean, let's talk about that red card real quick, Dan. I think you're going to say this happened to us earlier in the season too, where we had multiple games reds. But that felt like a really soft yellow. That dude was looking for the contact and went down. Christian deserved a red.
Yeah. And so maybe that's it balancing out, right? But
yeah,
I was actually going to say we had it a couple times earlier in the year where we had players twice. A player deserved a red, a second a yellow, and the ref pulled it out and put it back after he realized. And so some of it is a ref decision, the way that the ref is calling the particular game. And so maybe that has a little more to do in the calculus for these two younger players. But we had 2 games earlier this year and where the ref is like, yeah, you know, reaching in his pocket until he realizes. And that's frustrating to see, you know, it all balances it out at the end. But it's frustrating to see because you think Kalani has got to be close to winning that job, especially since Brian decided to keep Alex Roldan back at CB. You know, part of that had to do with how good Kalani was playing.
Yeah, it seems like maybe that's the answer, right? Especially with I mean, we have so many center backs out. I think 4 were out last match.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we have Alex back there is pretty huge.
Oh, it's just the Roldan brothers they're supermen. They really are. They can play anywhere on the pitch, and they can do a good shift just about regardless of the position. And they both give it their all, too. They're both Brian Smetzer-type players that they're going to go out there and work harder than the other team.
Who are you starting at right back, Alex?
Kalani. I've been saying it all year. What he brings to the offense is what Alex is lacking. But what Alex brings to the defense is what keeps him on the field. But overall, if I'm the coach picking a lineup, I'm picking Kalani just for that offensive upside, especially when we're struggling to score goals.
Yeah. So let's talk about it then. Stephen Fry. Pretty brutal injury. Of course, it always looks worse than it is. But he probably fouled the player on the other team with his head because he didn't hit the ball or anything. It came flying out of nowhere. But scary moment for sure. How were y'all? Alex, you were not in person, right?
No, I was watching live, but they showed it on the broadcast.
Yeah. So what was it like? I mean, at the game, it was, there was I mean, everyone was worried, but it was kind of like, this is what they always do in these situations. They're going to put you on the board just to be safe, stuff like that. I mean, it was obviously scary because he had the reaction you get when you're just knocked out completely.
Yeah, the fencing posture, I think is what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah. So what were you feeling in those moments when that happened?
Man, I was just, you know, I was just hoping that it was more so just that it looked worse than it was. Like, there was no injury to, like, his neck, his spine, or, like, a head fracture. But as we saw, there was not really any blood. So it was more so he was just, like, concussed. Like, he was out. Like, my first reaction when I seen him, I was like, oh, shit, he's knocked out. And then he started fencing up. And it just, like, it sucks because the Columbus Crew player didn't have any malicious intent. Like, they both went for the ball. Frey came on the way down. Like, he just happened to, like, it was an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. And they just, like, hit each other head on. And it just sucks because Frey went in with his head and the other player went in with his leg in it. Like, it happens in the sport. It's a contact sport. And, you know, all we hope is that, well, that Fry's going to be okay, which, you know, he had a cheeky tweet on Sunday saying that he was back home resting. So that was good news.
I mean, he was at practice the next day. So,
yeah.
Or on Monday, he showed up, even though they told him he didn't need to. So he clearly is making the best of a bad situation. But I got to imagine I get a sore neck from sleeping wrong. Hitting your head like that can't be good.
No, yeah, I was just
the way that his at 39 too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, damn, like it looked bad on TV.
Absolutely. Cedar, what were you thinking when it went on?
You might be on mute.
Can you hear us, Cedar?
I can hear you guys. I think my connection's a little spotty. I seem to be going in and out.
Okay. I just asked you how you were feeling when you saw the Frey play.
Oh, yeah. It reminded me kind of I guess it was a couple of years ago when Tua Tagovailoa got knocked out and he was, you know, on the ground. You could see his fingers twitching. It was really scary. It wasn't quite at that level of, like, you know, contact football play, but I mean, of his, you know, how Frey was on the ground twitching around, like, but it was kind of like that, you know. It was eerie and uncanny to see. So I'm just glad that he's doing okay. And I'm good on both the coaches for, you know, agreeing to stop the game because, you know, what are you like? Yeah, even though Columbus is owed a corner there, you know, what are you going to do? Keep playing? That's crazy. So, yeah, lots of respect to Wilfred Nancy for agreeing to that. And yeah, really, really good to see them deal with it the way it should be dealt with. You know, I don't know you necessarily get that exchange from, you know, every single combination of coaches in the league. So it was good to see.
What about you, Dan?
Yeah, for me, it was. And so this is probably one of the times that watching it at home maybe was more impactful than being in the stands emotionally, because you could just see the violence of it. And it was, you know, there was violence involved with that knee hitting the head. It was rough to watch. And then somebody, I was really surprised, you know, I've never even met Frey, right? It's just somebody I've seen on TV or at the game playing, but the emotion, I think a lot of it had to do, it was a culmination of a really tough week for soccer and then maybe even Seattle fandom with, as a Liverpool fan, waking up and getting the news of Jota, and somebody that really introduced me to the sport watching Liverpool was the first club team I follow. And then JP, I don't think you can't be a Sanders fan and just feel the pain of somebody at that stage in their career and somebody that's been so important to the Sounders, possibly having a career-ending injury or likely a end of the Sounders career injury. And then to see somebody else that you know is at the tail end of their career get hit like that, that you really just look up to as a fan. It's emotional. I think I'm getting a little emotional now just even talking about it. So I was so glad to hear that he is, you know, back at home and that he was able to get to practice and see the guys. I bet that was a big deal. Hopefully he took a Uber or a chauffeur and didn't drive himself, but
he likes to walk sometimes. Yeah. Maybe not all there, but he takes the ferry to the games lots of times and he just walks over from the ferry. I've seen him multiple times do that.
That is so cool.
I love that.
So
awesome.
Yeah, that now as far as on the field, I have a lot of faith in Andy Thomas's ability to be in goal, but we're going to miss the leadership that Fry provides. It's you know, it's something to be a captain, but think about, you know, being a captain and being a goalie at the same time. That means that you really are instrumental in that locker room. And Fry does so much with ball distribution and then organizing of the defense. And I don't think that Andy's quite there yet on Fry's level for the mental aspect of the game. And so I can see a couple more goals being shipped with Fry sidelined and recovering.
Yeah, I mean, definitely will be a change at the back. I think you saw Nuhu particularly distraught, and it shows you kind of the relationship that the two of them must have, which makes sense, right? Because they're working together every game and every practice. But respect to all the Columbus players who also were worried and were trying to get the doctor out there immediately. And I mean, yeah, I've got to meet Fry several times, and he's just such a fantastic dude, and just will hang out and talk, and so it hits even harder. And I think Nick mentions this on the last episode, but it did take me back to Steve Zakuani breaking his leg, because I had been working with Steve at the time on his nonprofit, and I just walked in seconds after it happened. So there was just like this feeling of, oh God, you know, that wasn't career ending for Steve, but it was career ending for Steve. Like, he came back, but it was never the same. So definitely glad to see Fry kind of back in good spirits, and hopefully, you know, negative for the CT. That's the best news right there. So it's just a question of, will he make it through concussion protocol? And hopefully he takes his time. And we have had a Sounders goalie before. I think it was against Manchester United in a friendly, who hit his head and ended up having to retire because of it. Was it Terry Boss? Might have been Terry Boss. It was one of our third string goalies. Ended up hitting his head on the post during a friendly match, which was Man U, and that was the last game of his career. So you never like to see it. Why don't we take a break, listen to a Patreon ad, and we'll be right back. Sound good? All right.
Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month. That'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming. And we're back. Yeah, everyone on this podcast is part of the Patreon. All four of us, actually, because I am too. I pay to be on there, even though it's my Patreon. join. Come have fun with us. And join the Discord. We can, Dan, tell me, the Discord, what do you get out of it? Why? Why should they join?
Give me just a second, because I have, hopefully you didn't hear all those Amber Alerts I had going off on my phone.
Oh, no.
Something's going on in Tacoma.
It didn't happen to me. That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's the IRS.
It's almost like you silenced your phone or something. Yeah.
It's the tax alert.
Maybe. They've been listening this whole time.
Yeah, no, it's the tax alert.
That's just the notification that China's paying my tariffs. Nothing to worry about. I'm sorry. What was it? Oh, Patreon. Oh man, I love Patreon.
I meant
much.
The Discord. Discord.
Yeah, Discord. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, I love the Patreon and the ability to give back to this this product and this group of people. So I enjoy that. But the Discord, absolutely, it is my personal connection to Sounders fans. And I just enjoy the conversations we get to have there. I don't get to work with a lot of Sounders fans. I only got one or two in my office. And so most of the people I work with, you know, I go in and try to like, hey, did you see this? And they're like, no. And so then I can hop on the Discord. and then, you know, there's some spirited, it's always respectful conversations, but there's debate too. And that's, I enjoy that. As somebody that enjoys to argue about sports, I really enjoy that. So I recommend it. If you're listening to this podcast, there's no reason you shouldn't be on the Discord. Come hang out.
I just got, also, my tariff warning just came in as well.
There you go.
But yeah, awesome. I agree. Get on there. It's fun. Match days are always fun. It's a chance to talk. I used to live tweet during matches, and I don't anymore. Instead, I go on there and talk to everybody talking about the game. It's super fun that way. So, you know what? We could talk about the next game. We could talk about SKC, but I want to hear what y'all think about Leagues Cup coming up, because that is... we have, what, three more matches before Leagues Cup, and then that starts at the end of July, where we're playing Cruz Azul, and then Tijuana, and another team.
Santos
Laguna. Thank you. Yes. I'm a little frustrated, because we've just come out of an interruption with Club World Cup, back in MLS play, and now it's getting interrupted again. But it is a chance to make Champions League. So how are we feeling headed towards Leagues Cup right now?
I'm a little excited for it. I want another shot at Cruz Azul. They almost derailed our season early in the year, put us in a bad spot. And it wasn't what they did. It was just what happened at the game, in particular with the injuries. So I'm excited for another shot at them, especially back here in Seattle again. We played them much better in Seattle. Hopefully we can go out there and score some goals. Another thing I'm excited is, since I've been a Sounders fan, we seem to come out on the other end of Leagues Cup a little bit of a better team. And it's almost like these tournaments give the guys a chance to regroup, reset, maybe even tweak some things, because I know Brian says that their goal is to win every tournament that they're in, win every trophy that they could possibly find. But maybe that gives them a chance to experiment a little bit with the formation, like we saw with the three backs to kick the season off, and tweak some stuff around. Maybe De La Vega will get a play. I would like to see him on the field again.
Yeah, for sure. Cedar, what about you? What are you thinking about as we head into a month away, or 20 days away, but into the Leagues Cup?
Yeah, three weeks away. It's coming up. Just to echo what Dan said, it'll be nice to get a rematch against Cruz Azul. You know, maybe we can get some revenge on those guys. And yeah, I don't know too much about Santos Laguna or Club Tijuana, but I do know that Liga MX is a really, really strong league. And anytime that you can beat Mexican competition, that means you're doing pretty well. And we'll obviously have home field advantage for our three group stage matches, so that'll help.
That's an important thing.
Yeah,
it, note, it might, though, we are the away team against Cruz Azul, but it is at home.
Yeah. Yes.
Do we still get the general admission ECS?
Yeah, we should.
Okay.
Does that mean they're going to play, if Cruz Azul scores, are they going to play Cruz Azul's goal song in our stadium?
I don't know about that. I imagine it'll be the same otherwise. Just, they get to decide. I don't know. They get home jerseys.
Well, one way to keep them from doing that would be to not let them score. Like so.
And maybe not have our goals robbed by the referees on a fake call offsides that was really onsides.
Oh, I had forgotten about that.
De La Vega scored.
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about? I love it.
Alex, what about you? I think Santos Laguna, Tijuana, not good, but Cruz Azul, very, 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 very good. They were the CONCACAF champions, correct?
Yeah, you just read my mind. I'm looking at the table from last season, and you got Santos in last place with 7 points. And then you have Tijuana with 19 points in 13th. They didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But then you have Cruz Azul that beat the brakes off the Whitecaps. And then we lost to the Whitecaps C squad. So, yeah. I mean, as long as we don't lose 5-0.
That was pre Club World Cup. We erase all those memories. No, that's a different Sounders team. They went out. The Sounders got a star number 9 to score goals.
Wait. Are you talking about the ghost of Noah Ohio?
Yeah. Where's that guy? Why isn't he here yet?
His visa didn't go through. It got denied. Oh,
man. Why? I know why. Never mind.
No, I think
we didn't pay the tariff.
Yeah. Weird. Kent went through just fine. He was here super fast. Huh.
He's British. That's why.
They
were thinking about the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah.
Ohio's British too, right? Wasn't he born in Britain? Plays for the Dutch team?
Yeah. But also, we could have just said he was from Ohio. He's Noah from Ohio. What are we doing?
Yeah.
We're going to chant, Ohio. No, I think.
The Ohio.
We got to bring it back to Leagues Cup.
Yeah.
We went on a little bit of a banter.
But I
want to win League's Cup. I mean, I don't know if when you guys have been in ECS, you guys hear us chant like, there's nothing we haven't won. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, we haven't won League's Cup. I mean,
it's the final in one of the early editions, but did not win.
We can't say that we haven't won everything when we haven't. Like, it's a bit of a contradicting song. I'm like, so let's win League Cup, so then when we actually sing it, we can back it up with the stats.
Yeah.
But I think the way that they're doing it this year is that the top four teams, I think it's top four, of MLS and Liga MX go through. So essentially, we can like tie all our games and still make it through.
That's true. Yep. Although I would expect us to get at least 2 wins. I think anything less than 2 wins in the group stage to me is a failure.
I think we should aim for 7 points.
Yep, agreed.
We could get a tie against Cruz Azul and then get the wins against Tijuana and Santos. But who knows, maybe we get 9 points and I'll eat my words.
Would love to see it. Is there value? What do you see? Because I know there is value. What do you all see as the value of playing Liga MX teams?
You kind of see how the leagues are in comparison. Because you have the MLS with the salary cap, and then you have Liga MX that doesn't have a salary cap. So like the top teams, they like their whole squad is valued more than our players. And like we've seen it when we went against Cruz Azul, they have multiple players that could be DPs that would walk into most MLS teams and be a starting player. But we've seen the only thing that is kind of an issue with a lot of people is that the games are always played in the US. there's no games played in Mexico. So it's obviously going to be easier for MLS sites, even if it's at a neutral site.
It's also a mid-season for us versus their preseason for them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But how is that different than, I mean, how is that not the same as what we deal with in the Champions League, which is arguably a better tournament?
Mm-hmm. I was about to touch on that, and, you know, like, great minds think alike.
Yeah. Dan, what about you? Do you think there's value in having this tournament interrupt the season?
Yeah, I enjoy the tournament. So I think this is because I'm a little bit of a newer fan to the Sounders only the past couple of years. I don't have the same nostalgia for the Open Cup. Now, I enjoy the Open Cup, don't get me wrong, and then watching some of these lower leagues come in and go toe-to-toe with MLS competition is extremely fun, and everybody loves a good cup set as long as it's not in Seattle. But I enjoy La Liga. I enjoy League's Cup a lot, and I want to win it too. I think it would be a fun thing to do, and I think that this year there's a chance, especially with Jordan coming back, and give him a run out there and let him go cook and not pull anything else, and we should be good.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't like that around the league, and this is something that I wrote the statement that Independent Supporters Council put out about it, the U.S. Open Cup, and very much most of the groups were focused on it versus League's Cup. And for me, it shouldn't be an either or. You can have both tournaments. Look what they do in Europe, especially now when they've added, you know, Chelsea and PSG end up with, 60 games or something like that by the end of the season. So you can do both. But I will say, being at Starfire and some of those amazing matches, just the atmosphere there is incredible. U.S. Open Cup is some of my favorite matches that I've ever been to. So I don't like to pit them against each other, but I think I agree with you that it's an important tournament, especially for a league that wants to be equal to our rivals to the south. What about you, Cedar?
Yeah, I think it has tremendous value. I think getting there being a spot in Champions Cup on the line, that's definitely something we want to get. Because I think after seeing this first iteration of the expanded Club World Cup, I think we want to go back, you know? I think it has tremendous value. I think that it's nice to play teams that, Liga MX doesn't have a salary cap, but it still is it's a similar ecosystem in terms of world football to where the MLS is at. And so it's nice to have that kind of measuring stick where, you know, we've alluded to it with Open Cup, playing lower level teams. Yes, there are cup sets, but it's still different. It's very different with the squads you roll out. I feel like with League's Cup, a lot of teams they're going to be rolling out their A teams. And so will the Mexican team. So, it's fun. It's a good tournament, and it's good competition. So I'm looking forward to it. But that's not to take anything away from, you know, the magic of U.S. Open Cup and wanting to see that be, you know, something that's a mainstay in American soccer too. Like you were saying, Cameron, I don't see why there's any reason where we can't have both, you know, so.
The way you do it, expand the rosters. That's my kind of overview. We need five more TAM players. Give us five more TAM players. Expand those rosters so we have more mid to top level players, and then suddenly you have space to play your youth players in the. And also let the youth players come up for they could have fixed all of this if they had just said, "Hey, your minor league players can come play for your professional team." Then it never would have been an issue. There would have been zero protests, and they just in typical MLS US soccer fashion, they all bungled this. Yeah. So,
well, and we just saw too in the Club World Cup, like, you know, the gap between us and the big European teams, while it is there for sure, it's not immense. It's not something that can't be, you know, worked towards like in the immediate future. You know, we can make the league could make strides if it wants to in terms of, you know, loosening up the salary cap and all of the restrictions and having, you know, MLS teams be able to put really good squads out on the field. So I
do feel like, and I know not everyone loves Messi, but I feel like Messi has raised the profile of the game in the United States in a way that from a sociological perspective has made it more relevant outside of the United States. And perhaps because of that, they're going to, I don't know if this helps the Sounders, frankly, might hurt us, but they may add another DP. They may make it so that you can bring in higher paid players and the salary cap isn't so restrictive.
I mean, think 5 years ago, did you think that Messi, Suarez, Busquets, and Jordi Alba would be playing in the MLS?
Not together.
Let alone on the same team.
I could see all of them playing separately on one team, each for each of them. But
I think he was already gone by then. That might have been the year that he left Barcelona. But I didn't see Messi leaving Barcelona. The only reason why he left was the financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to PSG. How do you feel about that?
I loved it. I had my PSG Messi jersey on when they played against Seattle.
There you go. What's funny was that Mbappe was the problem.
Yeah, it seems like it. It seems like it. Now, were you standing there with me, Alex, when some kid came up and gave me a yellow card for wearing a Messi jersey?
Oh, yeah. I think so. Was that when we were standing outside?
Yeah.
I remember He's like, that.
Messi, yellow card.
I like this kid.
Yeah, I was like, you little shit.
Here we go.
I'm excited. I'm excited for more Sounders fans like that growing up.
The only violence at the Club World Cup was me beating up a 10-year-old. No crowd violence, just me.
And then you just see me get in. I got the last kick. Boom.
Yeah, boom.
The finisher. The people's elbow.
Oh, man.
I have a question for you guys. Let's say money is relatively no object. Let's say we can sign, you know, a really big name player. Who would each of your guys' like dream current footballer be to play for the Sounders?
Is this a realistic or like we're saying we could
semi-realistic. Like let's say, I mean, Messi went to Miami, right? You know, no, you're not getting anybody like in their prime. You're not traveling back in time. But like right now, like if we had, you know, some significant money to spend and everything worked out, who would your dream player be to come to the Sounders?
Anybody? Mo Salah.
Yeah.
Then we don't have to argue about a right winger, and we'd have three wingers that could score.
Same here.
That's a great choice.
That's funny because you're calling for a nine, and you get a winger.
To see him in rave green.
So I am happy with a nine or a winger that can score. In fact, I think a winger that could score may be the fix to keep Jordan happy. And I mean, we're getting off your question, Cedar. I apologize, but yeah, I think we need an attacking player an inverted winger. That's really what I think that we need to unlock and be able to get a couple more goals again.
I mean, he's 33. He's worth 50 million euros.
He's going to Saudi before he comes to Seattle.
Sure, but.
I don't know if he's going to Saudi. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe Apple will pay.
As an Egyptian, does he want to go play in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, he knows the way that area of the world works way better than the rest of us. And I don't know, man. I feel like I look at it as like, wouldn't you want to like raise your family in a beautiful city like Seattle? You know, with our world-class state-of-the-art training facilities, you know?
Yeah.
Like, come on down
with the new the new curtains and the gold plated toilets.
just don't show him De La Vega's haircut.
Oh Jesus!
I was unhappy. I liked his floppy surfer hair.
Yeah, everybody did.
Brian.
At least he looked good on the field.
Brian and Craig are mad because he has more hair than the both of them combined.
Oh. So I gave you my real answer. Can I give you my heart, my passion answer? Because everybody's going to hate this.
Don't say Darwin Nunez.
It would be terrible. Darwin Nunez. Oh, I am in love with the man.
He's not.
I think he would tear the MLS up, destroy it.
He would need like five chances to score one.
Not an MLS.
So he would fit right in with the Sounders.
Perfect. Yeah, that's
what we get.
Yeah.
That's true.
In fact, they're probably scouting him right now.
Wasn't he on the outs of Liverpool?
Yeah, he's moving. I think he's moving to Milan.
I mean, he's still under contract at present. His value has dropped to 45 million, so he's 5 million cheaper than Mo Salah.
So he's a discount.
Yeah. What a deal.
Why don't we hijack LAFC's target and get a Heung-min Son?
Yeah. That would be a good
choice. Contract, I think his contract's expiring. He can play on the wing and up top.
Yeah.
Might be a realistic option.
Yeah, mine is, again, the player that just left Botafogo, Igor Jesus, who scored against us. In that first match, and then immediately, I mean, it was already in the works, but immediately was sold to Nottingham Forest. So,
oh no, did we lose Cameron? I'm really nervous without our leader right now.
Like, so before my internet rudely interrupted us, we were talking about who we wanted. So we got Mo Salah, we got Darwin Nunez, of course.
Just go with Mo,
Igor Jesus. Alex, who was your player?
Well, I gave my realistic option is Son.
That's right. That's right.
My dream signing. If we could sign anyone right now, realistically, go get Raul Jimenez. Why not? He killed it in Gold Cup.
Yeah, I guess he did.
He's in the Premier League, but he's not at a top club. No offense to my Fulham supporters.
Yeah, he is 34 though, so it's not very common for the Sounders to bring in a player of that age that isn't a superstar.
I mean, I would go get Julian Alvarez, but I think he's just in his prime or going to hit his prime, which is unrealistic. But that's who I'd sign.
Yeah, the value for Jimenez, according to Transfer Market, is 5 million euros.
That's too expensive for us. We gotta go shop at the dollar store. The dollar stretcher.
You're starting to sound like Tim Hamilton, muffin top model in here.
until I see them spend on someone else other than Pedro, then I'll be like, you know what? Like, trust the process. Right now, I feel like a Philly fan. Trust the process.
Philly's got a championship.
Not the 76ers. You know,
yeah, that's true. I do feel like if Areola doesn't get hurt, this season plays out very different. Seeing what we saw from him early on, I think we are scoring a lot of goals if he's out there with the service he was giving.
Oh, for sure. He was killing it.
Yeah.
Him and Jesus were playing lights out, but that's because they've been playing together for years. Here's the one thing I will say. I think that we are misusing Pedro. He's known for playing on the left wing and cutting in onto his right foot and taking shots. He's not as comfortable taking shots with his left foot. And I think that if we put him on the left, he would be much more productive than on the right. Which goal was called? I think there was a goal again in the Leagues Cup last year that was called back where he cut inside and he hit it from like outside the box and just curled right in to the far post.
Oh, and that was a BS offsides too.
Yeah. But when have we seen any other player hit a shot like that in our current roster?
No, I mean, I want to see him on the left and Kant on the right. I do. I think that would be a fantastic. Mariners are now tied 5-5 in the 10th inning.
Classic.
Wait, is this the same game that was a no hitter until the 8th?
Yes.
Who did they put in? Okay. Who's pitching now? Is it still Brian? Whoa.
No, they took him out after he gave up two hits and then a sacrifice fly. So, go Mariners.
They're just setting up Big Dumper to hit the game Grand Slam game winner.
They brought in Andre Munoz to get the they pitched him more than an – oh, yeah, they put, he pitched the full ninth and gave up two earned runs, so he blew the save.
I'm fine with that. He like never does that. So it's going to happen at some point, right?
But maybe not after the Mariners have lost two in a row. Here's the thing. I want the Sounders to be a winning team. I don't want them to be the Mariners. I don't want them to go, okay, we just have to win 55% of our games to make the playoffs, and at that point we can make a World Series run. I want the Sounders to be striving to get the top two positions in the MLS every season so we have a realistic chance of winning the MLS Cup.
Yeah.
And I'm worried that because of things we've heard from the front office, that they don't believe spending is necessary to win. That's why when people root against Miami, which I usually recently I've been doing rooting against them, but in general I've been rooting for them, because if we start having haves and have nots and we're on the have nots, that's the only way our front office is going to spend money. If we keep making it to the Western Conference final with a bunch of retreads, that's what they're going to get.
But I think what plays a part of that too is that I think a lot of the fan base was calling last season a success for making it to the Western Conference Finals.
But why? Why was it a success for making it Western Conference Finals? Because we were so mediocre most of the season, and so we just got hot in the playoffs. It's like they learned nothing from that, is what I think.
Yeah, but I
think it masks our real problems. Now, what do you all think?
I think that we need to... go ahead.
I was going to say that I was watching the what did they just post on the, what did the Sounders leadership team post on the website, the Alliance Club meeting, and one of, I think it may have been Adrian, said that we were 10 minutes we look at it that we were 10 minutes away to go into the cup, to the final, and that's great. You're right, we were 10 minutes away, kind of. We were 10 minutes away to go into extra time. But we lost that game because we couldn't score against LA Galaxy, a team that gave up 50 goals last year before the playoffs, right? And so we had one of the they were like third in the West for giving up goals. So not a great defense, and we still just could not score against them. And so instead of looking at that and saying, hey, why were we 10 minutes away from going? Was it luck, or was it, did the ball bounce a certain way, or could we just not put our ball into the net? And they didn't do that. They came away with that. We're so close. Let's give it another shot.
Yeah. That seems accurate.
That only took them, one chance that they got? I think that might have been Rajon's first shot, too, at the game chance. When he scored. I don't really remember that game. I tried to forget it.
Well, at what point do we consider Pedro de la Vega to be, a failure, basically? I mean, is it coming up to kind of like the cusp where it's like, well, it's been 1.5 seasons and we haven't really seen him, come good on how much we spent on him and everything, and it's just been spotty. And yes, there have been he's had his injury issues and all that, but at what point, like, is it after the end of the season if he still hasn't come on? Like, are we like, okay, well, that was just a massive failure too, right? That did not go as planned.
I don't think it matters when the fans see Pedro as a failure. I think it matters whenever the coaches see Pedro as a failure, and that they're choosing to sit him on the bench and bring him in after the 80th minute. To me, that shows me where their heads are with where he fits into the club.
At least where Brian's head is.
Right. Now, if Craig just wants to keep him and not play him.
I don't know the relationship between the two and how much they work together. I know what they say. I did know the relationship between Garth and Brian. And Brian played favorites and would not play players in the under the plan that Garth had laid out for us to win, including playing older players midweek who had knee issues, because he was concerned more about winning a midweek MLS game than having a player for full season, which, if you're afraid of losing your job, sure, I get it, but still, I don't know that, but at the very least, we know we can say that the coaching staff is not happy with Pedro. I just feel like, sure, Rothrock has earned it on the left, but we've seen nothing on the right that prevents Ryan Kent from being out there. And yet he's not. We had other players that have come into the team and have never been able to succeed because they're not getting minutes on the field. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but we did see Pedro succeed at the beginning of the season. At the beginning, he was dominant. In an early Champions Cup, he was great. So what? It's not like he's a worse player. Is he hurt? Is he not training? Has he pissed off the wrong people? The other thing is, we know that players can get back. Look at Nuhu. Nuhu's been in the doghouse several times in his career and yet always finds a way back into being a starter. So I don't know. I don't know where, if you're the GM, how do you determine it? If your coach isn't giving minutes, what's the reason? And I think that's what determines it.
Go ahead, Alec. I think Craig seems the type that he's out at practice a lot of the times. So I'm sure he sees what's going on. Again, I think that we're not using Pedro the way that will benefit him the most to be the most productive. Because I heard that Brian likes to use, you know, like if a right-footed winger on the right side, a left-footed winger on the left side. And that's going to help them put in better crosses, but that's going to eliminate the effect of them coming inside, cutting inside. And Pedro's very dynamic. You know, like he can cut in, do a quick combination play, and then, you know, like he'll slip through. But again, I think the way that the team's set up is that we're slow, methodical. We're going to kill you, pass the ball, like put you to sleep. And then eventually someone's going to be like, you know what, like we're going to go quickly. And it's just about the players knowing when is the right time to go quickly and if the coach is giving them the freedom to play quickly. Because we see the effort that Pedro plays on defense. Like, he'll run back and defend. And there's, like, Pedro looks like he's putting in the work. But there's something missing that he's not able to start games. And, like, what is the reason that he's not starting? Is it because Brian's playing favorites? Like, who knows? Maybe. But that's something that we don't know, but we can just speculate on.
I mean, I imagine Ferreira is amazing in practice at the very least, because otherwise he wouldn't be getting as many chances as he is.
Yeah, but then we look at him in game, and he's hitting field goals for the Seahawks.
The Cowboys, if you're Dan.
Yeah, we always have good field goal kickers.
Hey, they got good cheerleaders. That's probably the best thing that they got right now.
Shout out, Rhonda.
One of the things in this conversation. Go ahead, Matt.
Go, Cedar.
I was just gonna ask you. Doesn't the kicker for the Cowboys? Didn't he used to play soccer?
Yes,
in USL or something soccer. Like that.
Yeah, that wrong. He did. I don't even remember his name anymore. This is going to be the first year ever in my life that I don't have the NFL package. So we'll see how it goes.
I mean, it's probably worth it. I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan.
So, but to the Sounders, one of the things that we're kind of that nobody's really hitting on is Brian lets Rothrock play as an inverted winger. But then all the other wingers he puts on, he's not letting them play as inverted wingers. He's letting whoever's on the right play as a wide playmaker, and then whoever he puts on the left is playing as a winger. And I think Kent, that concerns me when we are playing wide and we only let one person get in the box, because we leave our 10 back a little bit and he's playing at the top of the box, and then you got a 9 in the box by himself, wondering why we can't break down a stacked box.
Yeah, that's fair. So that's a lot of negativity. And Alex, you I don't know if you're talking to us, but you've cut out there. So what I want to say is, let's leave this on a positive note. What are you looking for the Sounders this weekend at SKC?
Hopefully a win. hopefully more than two goals, because I know that Thomas can be very shaky at times with the nerves, and he's is not going to be the same type of leadership that Fry will give, like directing the defense. But, you know, like he'll have a full week of practice to, you know, get back into it. But I think that we could concede a goal or two. Hopefully I'm wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but I can totally see us conceding a goal in SKC.
My prediction was originally 1-0, but I was convinced a KC, but I was convinced to go to 1-1 when I did my prediction. Cedar, what about you? Where are you feeling about the Sounders moving into this weekend?
I'm feeling pretty good. I want to see us like just really take it to KC. I think, you know, they're sitting 11th in the table in the Western Conference table right now, and they have their expected goal difference between what they've put up and what's been put up against them. They're at negative 20, which is far away the worst in the league. Now they have, but their actual goal difference is only negative 5. They put up 33 goals and they've allowed 38 in. So they've gotten pretty lucky, all things considered. And they have Dejan Jovetic, who, you know, obviously was the one who put us to bed in the Western Conference final last season. So there, I could see them, you know, being dangerous in moments, but I think we have to, a team like this, even though it's on the road, we got to shut them down. They don't have Peter Vermees anymore. They've got an interim manager. Like, we just need to, you know, just shut them down and get 3 points.
What about you, Dan?
I think that we come out with the same energy that we had in the Club World Cup and against Austin and for a lot of parts against Columbus Crew, and we take it to SKC and we win 3-1.
Wow, and that's never positive.
And I think that we stop talking about their scoring issues until we play, who's after that, Colorado?
Yeah, then, I mean, it's at home on a Wednesday night.
Throwback week.
So I think we are looking good. Everybody's happy. And then we go back to a little bit of a difficulty scoring against Colorado. But I think this game, we're going to have some, I think we're going to have some energy, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So
that's the thing. We've seen how the Sounders can play. If they can replicate how they were during the Club World Cup, they can run this league.
Yeah.
I mean, they went toe-to-toe with the best team in the world. They didn't concede 4.
Only 2 goals. Nope.
True.
So maybe the last question before we get out of here then. What's y'all's over under for Jordan Morris on minutes at 45?
Probably, I feel like that's a good number.
I think he hits the over because Brian will bring him on at half and he's going to get 45 plus stoppage time.
And the Mariners just lost 6-5.
Classic Mariners. Classic. But that means that the Sounders
will
win.
They won those first 8 minutes.
Yeah. So you're saying he'll get more than 45 because of injury time?
Yeah.
Sure. Cedar, what about you?
I'll hit the over on that. I want to see him come back and really make an impact on the game. We need a guy like that to make an impact in order to play at our full potential, I think.
Is he starting for you, Dan?
No, I don't think Morris starts. I think he comes on at half.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Because he came on at the 60-minute mark last week.
Yeah.
And that's a pattern that Brian likes to ease folks back in, and we've seen him in the past have players come in at 45 and before they're ready to return fully.
So we're all hitting the over?
We're all hitting the over, I guess, unless there's no injury time.
Mean.
Yes, I should have worded my question better.
It depends on the scoreline. If it's Real Madrid, then there's no stoppage time.
Well, this is a great episode. I'm glad you all were here. And I guess we'll record again on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good for that.
Yeah.
Afternoon.
After we have another match and before we play Colorado on Wednesday. So we'll hopefully have a lot to talk about.
We can talk about Jordan Morris getting a brace.
A hat trick. Imagine that.
There's some times in these games where you see moments of brilliance at him that if he could do it full time when he's healthy, and we've seen him do it, but not as much this year because of injury. This team could be fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. To, 2 years ago at KC, he scored 4.
Was that the opening of the season when Leo had 3 assists?
Mm-hmm. And then he fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah. Oh, Leo.
Well, he had another good game in Portland until he took his shirt off.
I was at that game. That was actually my first Sounders game.
Really?
Yeah. And then I was like,
Were you wearing the Timbers jersey you sent us a picture of the other day?
I'm going to burn it. I told you we're going to burn it.
but were you wearing it?
No, I was wearing a Sounders shirt. I was wearing the Bruce Lee kit.
I mean, the guy that roots for OKC, to me, might used to have been a Timbers fan. That's all I'm saying.
All I'm going to say is that we got the ring.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, okay, here's the thing, though. I have a buddy that said that it's more than likely Sonics come back in 2 years or less.
I mean, hopefully the announcement's this summer.
Yeah, I heard a homeless guy in an alley. He told me, he was like, oh, yeah, the Sonics are coming back. Like, who knows, man? Like, I'm not believing anything that anybody says until I see it. You know, I'm not holding my breath. I cannot trust the NBA at this
point. That might have been, what's the commissioner's name? Silver?
Adam
Silver. Adam Silver that was in the alley that you met.
No, who's the one before him? No, the one before him.
David Stern. We don't say his name on this podcast.
Fuck David Stern.
Yep.
I was born in 2003.
And fuck Clay Bennett and fuck Howard Schultz.
Yeah. Yes.
I was born in 03. I have no ties to the Sonics yet.
Well, you will.
Well, once they come back, yes. Because I'm not trying to go to Portland and watch them play.
I mean, I've been...
Wait. How did you get in? How did you get into OKC?
I like Shea. I like Shea and I like Chet because Chet would play at Gonzaga.
Oh, even worse.
That's fair.
Actually, that's not
fair.
Worse.
Well, he's from Washington.
They're good players. Gonzaga, though.
They don't win nothing. I like Drew. Was it Drew Timmy? We call him Timmy Turner. He was probably the greatest center that didn't win make go to the league. He had the stash going.
The Adam Morrison stash? That might be before your time.
Yeah, for sure it was.
Yeah, I went to Santa Clara and I'm a Husky fan, so of course I hate Gonzaga.
No, I mean, I started following the NBA in 2015, like when Curry, like that year that the Warriors won. Curry.
I thought the NBA folded in 2008. It still exists.
The NBA?
Yeah. I thought all the teams just stopped playing.
It was a lockout.
No, I'm saying
they haven't resolved their.
When the Sonics left, the entire league folded. That's nothing happened after that.
Well, only in Seattle. Seattle, they isolated themselves.
Dan, are you a Rockets fan?
Yeah.
No basketball.
Yeah, I haven't watched basketball since like 1995.
At least you're not a Mavs fan.
But those Rockets teams were good back then.
They were, weren't they?
Well,
there's a theme of Texas sports in 1995, huh?
Yeah.
I was just about to say.
Yeah. The Sonics were good then too.
So I started watching long after the Sonics were gone, so.
Makes sense, youngin. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Oh, well, we'll get the Sonics back. They'll win championship. The Sounders will win championships. The Rain, Storm, the Orcas,
Sea Wolves.
The Orcas are the
Seawolves.
I love
The cricket. Our cricket team.
No. Yep. What's
that's
your,
awesome that we have a major league cricket team.
We do. The Thunderhawks. Seattle Sports Live, man.
But no, your basketball team, the Thunderhawks.
Yeah, the Superhawks.
The Superhawks. They need to win a championship.
Yeah, we made it to the Final Four. That's the best we've done. But yeah, Superhawks minor league champ. Here's the thing: is hopefully it turns into the G League team. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Could
but
be.
Ooh,
imagine that, Cameron, the that GM cool. of a G League team.
No, Gary Payton's going to be the GM, but I do hope to be an employee of the team in any
capacity. You can get us all media passes.
That's right. That's right. When you guys do the Super Hawks Ultras podcast.
Shoot, I'll go. I'll move over there if they need an employee.
Well, it's been fun, boys. Let's get out of here and go Sounders.
Vamos.
Go Sounders.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.